this morning, and I've invited several of the students who went with me this summer on the International Practicum in Evangelism to Romania to participate. We had 15 students who traveled together during the month of August for 2 weeks and flew into Europe via Amsterdam and Budapest, and then spent most of our time there in practical ministry in the country of Romania. We were able to go to the Second Baptist Church in Oradea and to spend several days there seeing their ministry and orphanage work, seminary beginnings, their new building program. They're building an auditorium for 3,500 to 4,000 people there, and on an average Sunday do about 4 services with about 3,000 in attendance, about 1,000 of them standing. So we were able to worship with that church, and then traveled across the country, which was an adventure in itself, and got everybody on good prayer ground for a week's worth of evangelism in the eastern city on the Danube, the city of Braila. And there we were involved in street evangelism and in Bible distribution and in a sort of mini weekend citywide campaign, and saw hundreds of people literally come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just in the campaign at the weekend or in the churches, but many, many out on the streets. So to encourage us all, I thought that it would be good to hear from several of the students today on their experience, personal testimony from different facets of the work. We're glad to have Rocky Gregory, Tim Rogers, and Jack Burns sharing with us, and Frank Cohn helping to lead in the singing, which he did while we were in Braila. Believe it or not, Southeastern MDiv students can sing pretty well, at least when you get 15 of them together and they disguise each other's voices. And we had a wonderful time. I think most of them, well, a couple of them told me after they got back they had the backslide to go to sleep for a few days, that they were so excited about the great reception there. There's nothing in Romania that's very attractive except the people's interest and thirst for the gospel. And I hope that will be communicated to you this morning. I'd like to begin our time together by reading a passage of Scripture from John's Gospel, chapter 4. And you'll recognize it as the encounter, or the end of the encounter of Jesus with the Samaritan woman, which I think very graphically describes something of the situation we find there in most of Eastern Europe and in Romania. I'll be reading from the New International Version, John chapter 4, verses 28 through 42. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages, and even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you've not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world."
You put 16 American pastors in a city park in Braila, Romania, singing "Victory in Jesus" in English, and you're going to draw a crowd. And Rocky Gregory is going to come and tell you about those crowds we would draw. And when he's through, then Royce Williams will come and share special music with us.
Thank you, Frank. I want to share with you some about what we did on the streets in Romania. Most of our time was spent in the city of Brăila, but of course we traveled throughout the country and also to many of the villages outside the larger cities. And while we were there for the 2 weeks, we also was with another group from Switzerland, who also we worked with to help to try to evangelize. But as I said, we traveled from city to city and from village to village to preach on the streets, to witness on the streets, to share the gospel the best that we knew how. Each time that we would meet, we would come together to have a time of singing and a time of testimony. And every time that we do this, the crowds would immediately begin to gather around us to find out what was going on, to see what we had to say. Then as soon as we'd gather a crowd, someone would stand up to preach the gospel. Now, the way we did this is we had two crates and a board. We put the two crates down and laid the board across it, and one of us would get on top of the board, along with our interpreter, who were the Romanian seminary students. And they would get up there with us, and as we would preach and share Jesus Christ, they would interpret what we had to say. And what was really amazing is that no matter which city we went into, what village we was at, no matter where you're at in the country of Romania, anytime someone gets up to share Jesus Christ and the gospel, crowds gather around.
Amen.
So as I said, no matter where we was at, the crowds would immediately begin to gather to see what we had to say. And what was really amazing, every time that someone would preach, we always gave a time of invitation. And we'd ask them to raise their hands, those who wanted to receive Christ. And just about every time someone would preach, maybe 30, 40, or 50 people at a time. And I was kind of worried about this to begin with, going into a communist country, not knowing how they would respond to what we had to say. Being taught communism all their lives and not knowing who we were. And with that on my mind and not being up on my indigenous theology, I wondered how would they relate to me and what kind of cultural gap they would be. But we found that every time that we stood to preach and share Jesus, we just shared the gospel the best way that we knew how. Every time people would respond, they'd want to know more. And they'd stay there and listen to as long as we had anything to say. You know, I'm afraid sometimes we think that maybe sometimes these decisions are not real. But in Romania, every time we'd give an invitation, we'd also have other groups around us who we'd tell the folks who had responded to the invitation to go over to these groups, and we would counsel them some, tell them about some of the things they needed to do now that they're a Christian, and talk to them about Bible study and about church and about prayer. And so always, all those who responded would immediately go over to these groups. And everyone who responded would want to know more, and want to find out more, wanted to know what their responsibilities were, and wanted to know what they needed to do to learn better how to be a Christian. So also, now when we would send them to these groups, we'd give them a Bible. And after we'd given a Bible to all those who had made a commitment for Christ, we began to distribute the Bibles to those others who were around who maybe had not made a commitment. And of course, whenever we began to distribute the Bibles, immediately we would begin to get mobbed by the people, almost fighting each other off to get a copy of the Scriptures. And it was really amazing how the people responded. And of course, when one would preach, some others would try to be sensitive to those who were around who were maybe hesitant about what to do, and we'd try to witness to them one-on-one with our interpreter. And of course, during this time, there was some people who did not appreciate what we were doing. Occasionally, we would have a heckler who would come along and shout things, and on one occasion, we had a drunk man to come along who was, when we would sing, he would dance along with our singing. Of course, he didn't know what we were singing. But so really this helped us because he helped us draw a crowd. Then another time we were in the city of Brăila in the center square of town, and the priest at the Orthodox Church went into his bell tower and began to ring the bells to try to drown out what we were doing. And I think the meeting that particular day went on for about 4 hours. And he gave out before we did. And so we just kept on preaching and sharing Christ. And on that particular day, someone would preach, and those who made decisions, we'd lead them to a group to be counseled. Someone else would preach. Another 30, 40 decisions, we'd lead those to a group to counsel. Then someone else would preach. 30, 40, 50 would receive Christ, and we'd send them to another group. So this particular day went on for about 4 hours that we did this. On one occasion, we were in another city, and we only had time to have just one message. But at the end of the message, we told the people, it was on a Wednesday night, we told them that we would be meeting in a church and for the Wednesday night service, and we'd be there, and someone would preach. And the church was outside of town, but we asked those who were interested to come. And it was really exciting to see that in that church that night, which was not really close to where we was at, and of course, their means of transportation a lot of times was very primitive. But that particular night, 11 people who were there in that meeting in the center of the square had come to that church tonight to learn more. So you get an idea of how excited they were to learn more and find out what we had to say. You know, the hunger and the thirst of the people was really unbelievable in Romania, how much they want to hear the gospel. You know, that's telling us our responsibility that we need to take on to go and share Christ with them. But as I saw this and saw that all that took place, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to believe that it's not real. You know, but for those people in Romania, it was real. And it may not be real to some of us sometimes when we've heard the message so many times. But when you begin to hear the gospel for the first time and hear about Jesus Christ, brother, it's real.
Amen.
And it's real to them. Thank you.
Amen. Music played a large part in our crusade efforts and our evangelism, street evangelism, while we were in Romania. And we used it to draw the crowds on the street. We would sing as a group. The Romanians love to hear the Americans sing, and especially they like to hear us sing Victory in Jesus. And so we'd sing that as a group, and then others would sing. Frank would sing. I would sing solos with the guitar. And while we were singing, people would just begin to gather up. And in a matter of 15 minutes, 20 minutes, we'd see a crowd of 100, 125, 150 people that had gathered to see what was going to take place. And I was reminded, as Rocky was just speaking, that they did use a Coca-Cola crate, two crates and a board, whenever they preached. And I feel a little left out because they did not use the Coca-Cola crate and the board for me. And I needed a little more than the others did, so I feel a little left out about that. They didn't want me to preach too much anyway. They wanted me to sing all the time. And so that's the way they had of keeping me quiet, I guess. I'll let Brother Jack speak to that in just a moment. I want to share a song with you that I used in the street evangelism as well as in the crusade on Friday night. It's called Down From His Glory.
Thank you, Royce. That was beautiful. Praise God. I was glad to hear that song again. I tell you what, it was a beautiful song. It stirred our hearts every time we heard it while we was in Romania. And that was one thing that I just enjoyed about Romania. Before I start, I'd like to let you know my name is Tim Rogers. Dr. Roberts, I'd like to correct him. All the people that went to Romania were not M-divers. There were some A-divers that went. Me and Rick went to Romania. So there were some A-divers that mixed in with the M-divers. Now, I want you to know the M-divers couldn't sing. It was the A-divers carrying it all. So that's what it was. They told me that I was singing on the bus one time. They said, Tim, that's 13 notes. And you've hit all 13 in that one word. So I knew I couldn't sing. But I'd just like to share with you some of the things that how God blessed us while we were over there. We had a wonderful time seeing the people come to know Jesus, just sharing the gospel. What I'd like to share with you about is the meetings that we had on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. There, it was an amphitheater there in Braila where we had our meetings at. Frank pretty much lined up the service as far as they told him about 5 minutes before the service was to start to line us up something to do. So that was one thing else I found out while we were there. We were ready to do anything at any given moment. And you had to come up with a sermon. You had to come up with a testimony. You had to do anything in the world, whatever they asked. You might have had to teach someone something. You never knew. So we was always ready to do something. It was very unfamiliar for me. We were there like Rocky had shared with a Swiss and a German group also. They were Swiss and German believers from a Bible school there, over there, and they were speaking Swiss, they were speaking German, they were speaking Romanian, they were speaking, what all was it, French? Somebody was speaking, I mean, it was just all kinds of languages being spoken around there. And we was at the street, out in the street, evangelism, and Hans, one of the people from Germany, he was speaking. Now, I didn't ever figure that out. He was speaking in German, and they were translating in Romania for him, but he was a Romanian. He knew both languages. But anyhow, he was standing there speaking, and while he was standing there speaking, it was the first I'd heard another language being translated into another language, and I didn't understand either one of the languages. And I was standing there thinking, what in the world? You know, I don't understand. And I was standing there, and I got to thinking about, you know, it sure would be nice to know what they were saying. And as I was standing there thinking about it, the thought crossed my mind. Well, Lord, you give them the power of the tongues, the gift of tongues on Pentecost. You reckon you could probably do it another time right here. You know, I'd like to understand what they're saying. And about the time I thought that, someone had asked Dr. Roberts behind him to tell him what Hans was speaking. And Dr. Roberts speaks German. So he started translating for them. And I thought, wait a minute. You know, wait a minute, Lord. But then I realized that God hadn't given me the gift of tongues. He just let Dr. Roberts explain what was going on. But it was very unfamiliar like that. But in the open-air meetings, we saw a lot of people saved. A lot of people saved. You know, one thing that a lot of the people back at the church that I serve as pastor of tell me, they say, you know, once someone gets over 45, 50 years old, you have to beat them in the head with a hammer and they're about to get them to understand and to open up to receive the gospel. Well, one thing I saw while I was over there, we were standing there at the street meeting, and Fred Treadwell was giving a message. I think he was using the wordless book, and he was going through the wordless book. As he was going through the wordless book, I looked out, and there was this little short man about this tall, had on a white hat. He was old. He was real old. He was standing there with a cane. And as he was standing there, I saw him like this right here. And I got closer to where I could see what was going on. And Fred was giving an invitation to anyone that wanted to receive Jesus as his Savior. And the old man, he raised his hand. And he asked Jesus to come in his heart. And afterwards, I carried him to the bus to give him a Bible. And as I was talking with him, I asked him, I said, sir, how old are you? He told me he was 85 years old. Asked Jesus Christ to come in his heart. First time he'd ever heard the gospel in his life. And asked Jesus to come in his heart. So folks, I know that it don't make no difference what age it is. God can convict of sin and come into your heart anytime someone asks. But one thing I'd like to share with you today, and that's Ephesians 2, verse 19. In Ephesians 2, verse 19, it says, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You know something? There was a lot of foreigners over there in Romania to me. There were a lot of people I'd never seen before. But after we left Romania, I knew I'd see them again, and they were no longer foreigners. They were no longer citizens, strangers to me. They were part of the family of God. Amen. I knew they was my brothers and sisters in Christ when we left there. Because of the way that we saw them receive Jesus as their Savior, for the love that we saw them have for Jesus Christ, for the conviction of standing up for what they knew was right. And folks, when they stood up for what they knew was right, they stood up under the threat of going to jail. That's what kind of threat they stood up under, of persecution. The persecution that's going on over there, you wouldn't believe. I saw some of the persecution while I was there, and it would just broke my heart to see it. But we had those meetings in Braila in the amphitheater that night on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, and we had a lot of responses to those meetings. Ravi Maharaj, the author of Death of a Guru, was the evangelist, and he brought the messages those three nights. But there was one fellow in those meetings that I just have on my mind, and it meant the most to me. His name was either Philip Albert or Albert Philip. I don't know which one it was, because when they would write their names, they would write their last name and then their first name. But some of them, knowing we were Americans, didn't write it like that. They would write it like we wrote it. So he wrote his name, and I couldn't get translated whether he was writing his last name first or his first name last. I didn't know. So I just called him Philip, and he answered to it. So I knew I was close online anyway. But Philip, he was a 45-year-old, what you and I would term a merchant marine. He was a captain of one of the vessels that went up and down the Danube River. And he had heard my testimony in the street meetings, and he had told me in the street meetings that he wanted to talk with me eyeball to eyeball. And when he said that, I didn't understand what he was talking about. But you know, he kept coming back, and he kept coming back, and he kept coming back. And then Saturday night, I called him, and I said, "Philip, I said, what's the matter?" He said, "I told you I want to talk with you eyeball to eyeball." I said, "Well, let's talk." So we sat down there with an interpreter that was lost. There was one guy there. His name was George. He called himself Catholic, and he believed in the Catholicism is what it was he told me he believed in. And George, after talking with him, I mean, you know, I could tell he was just a lot of Baptists believing in the church, and he won't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyhow, George, he could speak English and Romanian. And George translated for me to Philip. And in that translation to Philip, I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with Philip. And I told Philip about how Jesus loved him. He told me the drugs and the alcohol and the promiscuity he had with women was keeping him from asking Jesus to come in his heart. And I told him he didn't have to give up any of that to ask Jesus to come in his heart. Now, once he did ask Jesus to come in his heart, he would want to give it up. But to give it up in order to ask Jesus to come in his heart, he didn't have to do that. He could ask Jesus to come in his heart right there. And you know, the meeting was over with and people were filing out. And I asked him, I said, "Philip, would you be willing to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart right now?" And he said, "Yes, I would." So we got on our knees right there in the aisleway as people were coming out. And I prayed with Philip, and he asked Jesus Christ to come in his heart right there. You know, and I always wondered, I said, you know, just like everybody else, I said, I wonder if that took. You know, I really wonder, you know, I don't know if it really took or not. You know, I wonder if it really took. Well, Sunday night, Philip was back. And I was sitting up there in the audience, and Philip come up there and sat down beside me. And he told me in the audience, he says, "Brother Tim." I said, "Yes." And in his broken English, he told me that he looked forward to the day that he could write me and tell me that he had been baptized. Amen. He was looking for a church in order to join, to where he could go ahead and go through the church requirements of baptism. And boy, that blessed my heart right there. I knew then that God was working no matter what I thought. Didn't make any difference what I thought and how it took. God was the one in control, and he was the one working. You know something, I want to tell you something. In the evangelistic meetings we had, all three meetings, and in decision cards, we turned in probably about 250, is about in just those three nights that we had in Brialen. Now, that's not counting the street evangelism that we done and everything. But there's one thing I'd just like to share with you, and that is the Romanian seminary students that are over there. You know something, I found out it costs about $40 a month to support a Romanian seminary student. And that's what it is. I want to challenge you here today. You say, "Wait a minute, Brother Tim, you know, we students ourselves. You know, it's hard. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But I'd like to share with you how you can do it. Here's how you can do it. I know most of us will drink 2 Cokes a day. 2 Cokes cost you 60 cents a piece. That's about $1.20. In a matter of 30 days, that comes out to be $36. So just give up 2 Cokes a day, put it in a jar, and I challenge you to help support one of the Romanian students there in Romania.
I'm amazed they've only allowed me 7 to 9 minutes. To begin with, I'm to share with you about what it was like to worship in the churches with the Romanian Christians. You know, it was amazing to us, 2 particular outstanding features of their worship services was, you didn't worry about the time. I think the shortest worship service we sat in was right at 2 hours. And each service was just, it built where you were blessed through everything that was done, from the singing to the preaching. The first night in Oradea, we got preached to by a Baptist pastor out of South Carolina who was there with the Carpenters for Christ beside the 2 pastors that's in that church. And here's wall-to-wall people sitting, and as you look around the wall, and this sanctuary is in a V shape, there's people standing 4 to 5 deep all the way around this wall. The power of God was in there beyond measure. It was just marvelous to be able to worship with brothers and sisters in Christ across the Atlantic. You know, so many times we take for granted the ones that we worship side by side with here, but when you can fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ from other nationalities, how great it is. Because, see, you come together for Christ. The first Sunday night in Braila was a worship experience that I'll never forget. Before Phil Beavers preached the message, the Greek Christians had already sang two or three songs. And yes, we met a sister from Thessalonica, a lady from a town in the book. Bless my heart. Royce sang, Sean sang. Then all of a sudden the doors of the church open up and here comes all this group from the Swiss-German team. Now here's Christians from Switzerland, Germany, Austria, Holland, Brazil. Would you believe a Brazilian boy is in this school in Switzerland? But what really just took me away was at the end of the service, the pastor, Pastor Joseph, asked us to stand. We all sang, "He is Lord," in your own language. Now, I cannot speak in tongues, but I can sure listen in tongues. And let me tell you, I felt like I was listening to a heavenly choir, because you knew what they were singing as you were singing. Oh, Brother David, Brother Rocky, the last Sunday, as we would also go into the villages to preach, they had to hire a taxi to take them to the church and the town where they were going to preach. And it was amazing as we watched the slides. They did a baby dedication similar to what we do here. But it's very important to the families there also. And then both David and Rocky sang, and I understand neither one of them can sing too good. I'm not going to comment on that. Different Christians from different nationalities sing for the glory of God. I finally got to hear Dr. Phil Roberts preach. I've been waiting on that. And let me tell you, God has anointed this man of God. We're grateful that God sent him our way and allowed all of us, even those of us who was their first time on an airplane, which increased our prayer life immensely, to watch Brother Phil with his faithfulness and his sweet spirit and his patience. With 16 of us who had minds of our own and wills of our own, we each wanted to go our own way, but how he held everything together and how God would use all of us together for the glory of Christ. For you see, you begin to forget about denomination because, see, all this group coming from Switzerland and Germany were Pentecostals. Oh, and we began to sing. They began to lift their arms unto God. I said, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. You sent us a choir that loves to sing unto you." And before long, you see the Baptists start raising their hands, singing unto God. You see, we're crossing denominational line to come together for the glory of God to tell people about Jesus. And that's what it's all about. We're not spouting denomination. We're only sharing how Jesus can change your life. And it was amazing to me as we were allowed to tell these people how God changed our life, even though we had no idea what that Romanian's translator was saying, that the gospel of Jesus Christ knows no language barriers. It'll change anybody's life in anybody's place. But it has really burdened my heart and quite a few of us. The fields are white in the harvest. I know I'm to go back, as some more of us also realize we're to go back. Now, I really don't have all the funds, but my father does. And I have prayed, "God, am I to go?" And you said yes. And like Isaiah, he says, "Here am I, Lord, send me." God wants to send you. Well, you say, "I don't have the finances," but your father does. You asked him, "Lord, what would you have me do?" Rocky and I only got our tickets the day before we got on the plane, but we already told God we're going. We didn't care what the devil said. But to be able to fellowship, and Dr. Roberts taught us one little word that just would bring a smile to the people of Romania, especially the Christians. If you'd say pace, peace, that's how they greet, pace. And you just see them smile. And as we went into one village to share, this pastor was so grateful for us being there. He greeted us with a holy kiss, wept as he heard us share our testimonies. These people are so hungry to have anything about the gospel of Christ. Pray very diligently and go, because we're going again. I done told Brother Phil I know he's going over there, but that's okay. I've already told Dr. Cottle, get your bags packed, you're taking us. Next summer, make plans. Start now. Prepare yourself to get a blessing that'll change your life. It'll give you a hunger for the Word again. It'll give you a hunger to see people come to God. It'll change you like you've never been changed before. And you'll realize why God saved you is to tell people about Jesus. I love you, and God loves you too. And God bless you.
The opportunity to share this experience with you. Let's stand for our benediction. David Jones was also with us on the trip, and I'll ask David if he'll have our benediction today.
Where your gospel needs to be heard, where we have resources to go and to share the gospel. Help us, Lord, to receive the blessing from you by being obedient and making ourselves open for opportunities of this. Because we'll be better men and women because we have been obedient to thee. We'll be more grateful for the things we have because we've been in the place where people have so little and are so delighted to share what they have with us. Lord, we thank you for the leadership in this seminary. We thank you for teachers like Dr. Roberts. We ask you to bless him and be with him in January as he goes there and makes his residence there and shares the gospel of training young people for the ministry there. And help us all to be open-handed with what you have given us, to know that only Jesus demands that we give back to him what will help the kingdom advance. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. In his name alone. Amen.
Amen. Amen.